Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 9th of February, recording at 5:50 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes, but first a quick review of what we've seen during the last week. Stock markets pretty firm, picked up the pace a little bit in here after all that ranging activity that we had seen. Some are still ranging, of course, but we've had more breakouts to the upside, renewing those trends, and we've had some steepening up trends. Government bonds, they had been quietly steady. They're getting clipped in here today, particularly the Europeans, and you'll see why in a moment. The U.S. dollar, well, it's been a day up and a day down, and just when it looks like the dollar is really on its last knees, or on its knees, I should say, last knees, where'd that come from? Just when it looks like the dollar's on its knees, it tends to rally, as it's done today, although it's well off the day's highs as I speak. But we've got the euro at 130.03, for instance. And precious metals, despite the dollar's rally, this is a pretty interesting day. Now, platinum over 12,000. Well, this is a review of the week. The whole week has been seeing a lot of busy activity, choppy intraday activity for the precious metals, but with a bias to the upside. And in the last couple of days, gold has really been to the fore and is quite strong. Gold bullion, for instance, 667.50 as I speak. And industrial metals, now they have been under some selling pressure recently, some of them, most of them I should say, stronger in here today, and that's right across the boards. They're all up in here, and copper, this is very interesting, it's back above 250 in the U.S. to 250.210 on the March contract. Extremely interesting. More on that in a moment. The grain and bean complex has been steady in soybeans recently, with wheat and corn drifting, but both corn and wheat are strengthening in here today. And crude oil, last but not least, this has been really quite strong and trading at 60.50 as I speak. Okay, so where are we and what's going on here? Overall, well, stock markets, as I mentioned, have been reaffirming those upward trends more often than not. There is nothing that appears to be coming apart at the seams. Needless to say, this is a favorable period seasonally. And remember, just at the beginning of the year, we had an awful lot of bearish talk from some, well, maybe not by legions of pundits. I think most would argue, and I would agree, that the legions were on the bullish side, as they usually are. But we had some high-profile names who were issuing warnings in January, and markets are quite nervous, leading to that additional ranging, but they're picking up a bit of speed in here again. I think that the interesting thing, though, is going to be what type of rotations are we going to see in terms of markets and of course sectors. I'll throw out a couple of them. One that's been is quietly improving all along, and that's the tech sector. And some of the Japanese tech companies are starting to look quite interesting. NT Docomo, for instance. Have a look at some of those. But tech generally is looking somewhat stronger, and we could say that we've had a fairly significant purge in terms of the old bubble excesses, culminating in the 2000 peak for the NASDAQ. So that sector looks interesting, and then we have global GDP growth, quite likely to get a second wind here this year, and of course the soft landing for the U.S. economy, and that won't hurt the tech sector either. And companies have been really so conservative over the last number of years in terms of rebuilding their balance sheets and so on that they may be due for a little bit more tech spending in here. We've seen leadership in some companies such as Cisco, which we'd mentioned here ages ago. Well, ages last year, I think probably in the early autumn. And so it's worth looking at the tech companies with the big bases and the conservative valuations, certainly relative to what they used to be. Then I think that this we are strength that we're seeing. Well, I should let me start to rephrase that. I think that the recovery that we've seen in oil, and what I think is a pending recovery in copper, I think we're very close to getting the signals that indicate that copper has not only bottomed, but that a bear squeeze is going to coincide with renewed buying from the Asian region. I've got a couple of reports on that today that I think are quite interesting. And I think that that will win more adherence or to the commodity supercycle hypothesis, certainly give it more credibility than it's had recently, because people have been saying, "Ah, look at oil, look at copper. I told you it was all over." Now, certainly there's no commodity more important than oil, but this has rebounded quite strongly in here, and technically it's hard to argue anything other than that this is a new base for copper within its long-term secular bull market, driven by supply and elasticity meets rising demand. And I think the rising demand is more important than the supply and elasticity in this instance. So those two commodities will lead to renewed interest in the resources sector, which is coinciding with gold's appreciation now against all currencies, ditto silver's appreciation against all currencies. That's extremely important. So the resources shares, which have really been wallflowers, certainly during, well, with some exceptions, but for instance, the nickel producers had done quite well, but generally, gold mining shares, a lot of them had been hammered. The big companies like Billiton and Rio had way underperformed, but that's starting to change. And if you look at BHP Billiton's rebound, that's occurred very, very quickly. Look at the Gold Bugs Index. And I mention here a fund that I do hold is that Merrill Lynch Gold and General Fund. I haven't mentioned that for a while, but it's got very steady performance in here. And then Timothy Guinness's Investec Global Energy Funds and the Guinness Atkinson Energy Funds. I think that those, again, which they were they, where they've been range bound at best, are likely to start performing again. So that looks interesting. And then to round it out, the Asian stock markets, that's a very, very attractive sector. But the resources, I mean, these are my old favorite themes here. Resources have had a long consolidation. That's really predictable, not all that surprising. The Asians have remained strong. The only question is, can we expect such dramatic gains in markets such as China and India that we saw last year? And with India, really since 2003, the conservative, well, the honest answer is I don't know. The conservative assessment would be to say, well, I'd be pleasantly surprised if that was the case. So therefore, markets such as Japan, I think that's coming into its own once again in on the upside in 2007. South Korea, really quite interesting. Taiwan, some of the previous laggards among the industrialized markets could well have a better performance overall. Now, if markets run ahead too quickly, we have to worry about another medium-term correction this year. But we've seen those before. Overall, I don't think that the factors for a bear market are on the horizon. Certainly, the factors for another correction are coming back into view, led by crude oil, and we need to watch those government bond yields. Okay, I don't like the government bonds, as you know, because I think that stronger global GDP growth, gold pushing up, oil recovering, copper I think will recover before long, a lot of other commodities are strong, the grains and beans complex is strong. That will revive the inflationary pressures. That's likely to drive up the long-dated yields. What central banks do with short-term rates remains to be seen, but there is likely to be a bit more upside at some stage going forward, although probably not in the U.S. For a while. In terms of currencies, now when you get Paulson, who seems to have Treasury, U.S. Treasury Secretary, seems to have vacillated a little bit on the yen. But first, in speaking to auto workers, airing the view that the yen was undervalued and or words to that effect, and then saying, well, let the markets decide, which is a good answer given the importance of Japan to the U.S. As a strategic ally. Well, reading between the lines, I think the U.S. is a little bit concerned about the strength of the dollar, given all the ongoing costs that they have and concerns over the economy. So while we're getting a lot of bleeding from some of the Europeans right now about the weakness of the yen, I think that the bottom line here is that the U.S. probably wants and needs a weaker currency more than most other countries, and it's capable of creating that, of course, by not raising interest rates, possibly even lowering them, although I doubt that there will be a need for that anytime soon, and certainly by printing more of them. But overall, currencies are dominated by this choppy activity, and I don't think that's likely to change anytime soon. In other words, we get months and months of tight ranging, and then we get a small 3 week trend, that 3-4 week trend, that type of action, and then months and months of ranging activity. Doesn't make it that easy to make money in the forex sector. The better trends are in stock markets and in a good many of these resources. And again, I have from what I've said earlier, I've indicated that pretty much I think that the resources sector is very attractive. Precious metals should outperform the industrial metals, although if there's an exception on the upside, not immediately, but not that long behind. I suspect it's likely to be copper when we get the bear squeeze kicking in and that increased demand from Asia. But precious metals very much to the fore here. And that's they've had a good 5 weeks, but remember this is relatively new because they did not recover the way stock markets recovered following the June lows. Instead, they went into a much, much longer support building phase, and that is now supporting the advances, which I think are really going to be quite strong overall. By quite strong, gold going to new highs, silver going to new highs, possibly platinum going to new highs, and who knows with palladium dragged up by the other three, presumably. Grains and beans, interesting. I've been mentioning that I felt these moves were of a consolidatory nature, and I'd also mentioned that this is seasonally not a strong period for them, but the patterns I think are well underpinned, and we see some technical improvement in here today. Incidentally, I'm going to step back and just mention on the I think I might have touched on this, but in case I didn't mention it, that the relationship between gold and the dollar. Now, if you go back 2 months ago and any time from really June, between June and I think up until January, if the dollar strengthened, gold fell, as did the other precious metals. if the dollar weakened, then the metals could steady. But today we have gold appreciating against all currencies right now. So what it means is that if the dollar strengthens as we're seeing today, maybe it'll be a bit of a headwind, whereas the metals will run even more strongly on the days when the dollar is weak. But it's no longer that sort of one-for-one knee-jerk response to the dollar. It's not being dictated by the dollar. The investment demand is taking over. I think that's the point I want to end with. So I'm out of here a little earlier than usual. Good cultural leeway. I've got the ballet tonight at the Royal Opera House. Got an LPO concert tomorrow evening, and then and the rugby at Twickenham on Saturday afternoon. So I hope you're having a very lively and entertaining weekend as well, in addition to a good rest as we recover from this exciting weekend. Get ready for more profitable drama, I trust, next week. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.